one that I was working.
At 6:05, Mr. Valdez, if he's not here, we're starting. Which is in 2 minutes.
Did he call?
Yeah. A regular board meeting of the Canotillo Independent School District. Today's date is April 26th and the time is 6:06. Sonia, can you please call roll?
Yes, ma'am. Ms. Ritzy.
Here.
Mrs. Gonzalez.
Here.
Mr. Medina.
Present.
Mrs. Quintana.
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Present.
Mrs. Searles.
Here.
And Mrs. Iglesias.
Here.
Item C, Pledge of Allegiance.
And we do have some students, and then we also have some special guests that are choir students as well. Can they please come forward? Before we do that, Sonia, we did have one of our CHS students that wanted to sing for us, right? Is that correct? Are we going to do that right now?
We're going to move it to the board.
And just to honor Child Abuse Month, I would ask for the audience and the board to a moment of silence. for any kids that may have been abused in any way. Thank you. Thank you. Could we have Ms. Quintana and Ms. Gonzalez, whichever you'd like to do a mission and vision?
Vision statement. Canopillo ISD is the premier school district with national ranked multi-literate graduates ready to excel in college, their careers, their community, and environment.
Mission statement. Canopillo Independent School District's purpose is to provide high quality educational experiences that will inspire and prepare all students to apply the knowledge and skills necessary to become effective leaders and productive citizens.
Thank you, ladies. Now we'll move on to board honors.
Yes, ma'am. Two board honors in recognition of the campus teachers and auxiliary employees of the year. Mr. Leon.
Good evening, President Fritzi, board members, Dr. Galvis. We have some great board honor recipients with us this evening. It's a packed house, so we'll start right away. First up, we have our campus teachers and auxiliary employees of the year. We're going to start with the elementary level first, if you can join us down at the front board. And teachers and employees, I can ask you to come up and take your award and then stay in the room. I'd like to get a group picture of everyone once we're all done. First up, we're going to honor our elementary teachers first. And with that, I'd like to call up Christina Dudon from Reyes Elementary. Laura Hernandez from Jose Damian Elementary. Starting off with Irma Manuho, library aide. Patricia Angulo, library aide at Jose Damiano. Isabel Escobar, library aide at Canutillo Elementary School.
Thank you.
recognition for the evening is for the Canoteo High School National Junior ROTC for their participation in and completion of the Bataan Memorial Death March held last month. Led by Lieutenant Commander Roland Rosales and Gunnery Sergeant Daniel Maldonado, 10 NJROTC students trained for 4 to 5 hours every Saturday for 3 months to prepare for their competition. As a team, they all completed the 26-mile march over the dunes at White Sands Missile Range in the hot desert sun. We had two teams complete this incredible feat. On the first team were Marcel Lomeli, Nancy Legareta, and Martin Cortez, along with Moises Alaman and Abraham Esparza. On the second team, we had Eduardo Olmos, Neftali Molinar, Jennifer Samaniego, Arnie Martinez, and Angel Ugues. Please join us in saluting these young, remarkable leaders. Young singer here who will offer an excerpt of what they will perform in the state competition.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies. That was beautiful.
Board members, this concludes our board honors for tonight.
Thank you.
you.
Sonia, may we have the first item, please?
Yes, 3, open forum.
Any person wishing to address the board during the period reserved for public comment at a board meeting must sign up to be heard in accordance with district policy BED local. Each participant will be limited to 3 minutes to make comments to the board. Any group of 5 or more persons must appoint one person to present the group's views to the board. The board is not permitted to discuss or act upon any issues that are posted on the agenda for tonight's meeting. The board has adopted compliant policies that are designed to secure, at the lowest possible administrative level, a prompt, equitable resolution of complaints and concerns. Each of these processes provides that if a resolution cannot be achieved administratively, the person may appeal the administrative decision to the board as promptly posted agenda item. For further information on these policies, contact the Superintendent Administrative Assistance.
Madam President, we have 6 speakers. The first speaker is Carmen Vasquez. Ms. Vasquez?
Buenas noches, señora Vázquez. Siente, bueno, ¿sí entendió que nomás solamente tiene 3 minutos?
¿3 minutos nomás?
Sí. Bueno, gracias.
Gracias por atendernos. Estamos aquí porque sabe que en el programa, estamos en el programa Migrante y la señora Maricela Ramos ha discriminado a nuestros hijos y pues venimos a ver que es.
Señora Vázquez, por favor, no podemos decir de gente en el distrito. Podemos escuchar de los problemas ustedes, pero no podemos decir, nombrar gente que ahorita es empleado en el distrito. ¿Ok? Gracias.
Entonces, venimos a ver que porque en vez de ayudarlos, ella que tienen en esos obstáculos, ¿verdad?, que con sus estudios, pero que salen adelante, ella los aplasta, o sea, les dice que no pueden estudiar y que no sigan con los estudios o que los van a echar para México. Entonces queremos ver qué es lo que se puede hacer en este caso, pues, y discriminación también.
Es un problema con la persona que está ahí.
Señora, usted se...
No,
se firmó para poder hablar.
No, porque dijeron que con una persona.
Sí, solamente una persona de su grupo puede hablar.
Okay.
Perdón, pero tenemos bastante gente y eso es lo que tenemos.
Entonces, queremos, porque también está discriminando a los estudiantes. Entonces les dice que no pueden, que no se van a graduar, que para qué gastan dinero en el colegio si nos van a echar para México. Entonces queremos ver qué clase de personas están aquí trabajando aquí en Canutillo, para en el distrito, para en vez de apoyar a los niños, de darles alas para que estudien ellos, los está discriminando y pues queremos ver qué más se puede hacer en este caso.
Madam Chair,
para que no haya personas así.
Order to suspend the rules. I just want to direct them because it sounds like they don't know where to go. Is that possible?
Right now, Mr. Medina, what we can do is I'll make sure administration goes out and directs them to the proper venue so that way for
sure
the proper person mission.
Yeah. FNG that they can file a grievance against
right.
The district. So there is a form. I want a form on Tecasito and a form.
Mr. Medina, but for sake of time, I'll make sure that administration does that, okay? ¿Es todo?
Pues nomás podemos todavía decir más.
Sí, todavía tienen minutos.
Ah, entonces yo hablé con mi Silva, que es la directora. Perdón, hablé con la directora. Entonces también quedó de resolver, le da eso. Y fui el viernes a hablar a la high school y no se habló del problema.
Esos son sus 3 minutos, señora. Perdón. Lo siento, señora, pero tenemos mucha gente que quiere hablar también.
Bueno, entonces vamos, nos pueden atender en otro lugar. Para que se resuelva esto, que nos dé tiempo.
Yo puedo hablar con la administración para que puedan escucharlos. ¿Ok? Thank you very much, Sonia. Next person, Sonia.
Mr. Oscar Venegas.
Good evening, Superintendent Galeries, Board Chairwoman Stephanie Fritz, members of the board. My name is Oscar Venegas. I'm president of BMAC. I presently serve on the following boards. I'm chairman of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. I'm on the Workforce Solution Board and the Education Subcommittee. I'm on the Bank Board of BBVA Compass, and I'm on the Council on Regional Economic Expansion and Education Board. Education and business are vital to our region's ability to compete in the 21st century. The district has always been an advocate of buying local. We are proud to announce that 40 out of our 41 prime subcontractors were local. I don't know if you have ever heard of these two phrases, lack of capital or lack of working capital. This is the definition of retainage. Subcontractors suffer from lack of capital and access to capital, big and small. You may ask why they don't borrow against the receivable. Is that retainage is frowned upon by banks, factoring companies, and even predatory lenders. They just won't lend. Nobody knows when the retainage is going to be released. I want to bring up Westside Welding. Westside Welding and I met back in May of 2014. We jointly did the TxDOT project of 11 bridges for the TxDOT, the state of Texas. This contract was approximately $2.5 million. Did it on time with me, of course, that we were awarded a bonus of $250,000. Westside Welding, I gave him $65,000 of that bonus because he helped me achieve that bonus. Westside Welding is also one of your subcontractors on Reyes Elementary School. He has a $2.8 million facility in Canutillo School District. He employs 45 employees, and he's a really good guy. Mike Asarte is his name, if you have not met him. Our local companies use their profits to pay taxes, create and keep jobs, give back to the community, charities, civic organizations, and even the Canutillo golf tournaments and cheerleaders. Let's do business in Canutillo for the future graduates, of which I met a valedictorian, and I want to also ask for release of retainage. Thank you very much for letting me speak.
Thank you, sir. Next speaker, Sonia.
Dolores Diaz.
Good evening. I feel very proud to be here because I work here for the Canutillo School for 8 years. I know most of you, most of the board members, most of the teachers and students. But today, my concern is that company that's supposed to be approved or disapproved today for the food service department. I feel that probably we don't need it, because I think it'd be gonna be more work for our employees in food service, especially taking the breakfast over to the classrooms. The other thing, I have a question, I don't know how I'll be able to get it. Are we still under the child nutrition program? that's federally funded? Are students still eating free lunch? So I know right now you cannot answer me these questions, but I would like to have some kind of an appointment where I can come and ask and get an answer on those two things. And please don't forget that our students come first. Okay? And I've seen some of those menus that I don't agree with. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Next person, Sonia.
Maria Mercho.
Good evening. My name is Maria Mercho. As you know, I'm an employee for the food service department. The concern that myself and my co-workers have, we know we belong to Canopio ISD, right? But is it going to stay that way, or is it going to change? That's all our concern. If it's going to stay, then we will always be employees. And if not, if we're going to change, I mean, if we're going to belong to somebody else, we would like for you to take the time and consideration to let us know so we can know where we stand and what we need to do. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Ron Gatlin.
Good evening, Board President Fritzy, Board Members, Dr. Galavis. My name is Ron Gatlin. I'm a concerned taxpayer. I come before you again this evening to voice my concerns regarding the sale of real property that you have on the agenda under closed session this evening, as well as a consent agenda item V, regarding the district-owned property located adjacent to Garcia Elementary School. I know this board will be hearing from legal counsel this evening in regards to the selling of land. You will hear how there are many rules under Section 45.082 of the Texas Education Code that have to be followed, and how the funds can be utilized, and more so, how they cannot be utilized. I wish the laws would make it just as hard for school boards to purchase land. As co-chair on the Facilities Master Steering Committee, I witnessed firsthand the frustration of members of this community voiced in regards to the direction the Board of Trustees is leading the district into. Over 70% of the community responded resoundingly to recommend that the district sell as much property as possible to relieve the burden you have placed on taxpayers. I heard stories of families that at Christmas time were unable to make Christmas presents for their kids because they had to make a choice. Christmas presents or January, I have to pay my taxes, okay? I'm sure that most of this Board of Trustees has never had to make such a decision and have been blessed to not have to make these types of choices. We are not a rich community here in Canutillo. Families work hard to get what they have, and yet, this same community still supported the TRE in the past bond election. Why? Because they want a better life for their children. But again, all the support and optimism soon dimmed, okay, as we did not get what we were promised for our support. The community again feels cheated and not represented fairly by this Board of Trustees. And I feel that it will be very hard to pass another bond. Two particular land purchases were made with just a simple vote of the Board of Trustees to spend over $3 million of taxpayer dollars. To purchase the land is to be voted on this evening on Consent Agenda Item B. I implore any board member to pull this item off the consent agenda and discuss it in open session. Agenda Item B is worded to read approval of the construction of a CTE barn for the ag program, when in reality, it is a vote to not sell the land now or in the future. I think that most people know why this land was purchased, and the board is continually finding creative ways to not sell it. In the spring of 2014, the CTE program worked hard along the facilities department and finance department to try and build a barn there. That never passed. This board turned that down, and all of a sudden it's back on the agenda. I know I'm running out of time. I had plenty more to say, but I think you really need to look into this. I don't believe it's fair.
Thank you, sir.
I fully support CTE Barnes, I can tell you that.
Next person, Sonia.
Our final speaker is Andrea Esparza.
I want to formally introduce myself. My name is Andrea Esparza, and I am the assistant principal for AMS, and I want to take this opportunity to thank all of you for electing me in that position, and if there's anything that I can do for now my campus and my students, please do not hesitate to call me, and I appreciate everything that you have sent my way, and I look forward to the future and what the future brings to the campus and myself. So thank you very much.
Welcome.
Thank you, ma'am. Welcome to the Next item, Ms. Sonia.
Yes, ma'am. Item number 4, Board of Trustee Business, A, overview of policy, instruction personnel, student services committee meeting of April 18th, 2016. Mr. Rodriguez.
As you have in front of you, the minutes are there. If there's any questions, feel free. If not, that's it.
Any questions on this item?
No questions.
4B, overview of finance, audit, facilities, planning committee meeting of April 20th, 2016. Mrs. Burns.
Yes, we had a really good meeting on April the 20th. It was well attended, and we had a lot of active conversation over many different agenda items. And these same agenda items we're seeing this evening. We spoke about the food service and about the pros and cons, about the different issues that were good and the ones that were not so good, about pilot programs that had failed and hopes for the future that things could work. We left with Mr. Medina requesting of the administration if a contract could be done with the district without binding us to breakfast in the classroom. So hopefully we'll hear the answer to that tonight. There was no clear answer given as reflected in the minutes. We discussed our financials, our warrant list. We had some real nice donations given by many, and we had a few budget amendments. We discussed sports program clothes, some different communications and telecommunications agenda items, our external auditors we discussed, and we wanted to also discuss our backup and recovery software. All of these things were recommended to the full board. We discussed the building of a barn for our ag program. We had our students there, which I can see they're back here tonight. Thank you very much for being here. It was great. We discussed our ag program and how they have taken us to national, which has never happened before. Thank you very much, students and Mr. Gill. We also discussed a tractor for our facilities and maintenance department. We also discussed our facilities, maintenance, transportation, safety, and security departments. We'd like to start looking at some type of an incentive program for these different departments. Possibly, Mr. Vasquez had said some cookouts might be appropriate. We also had a discussion about some services at Reyes Elementary that was not recommended to the full board until Dr. Galavis discussed it with our legal representative. And we also recommended a resolution for state and federal legislation supporting reform at the Central Appraisal District, which are the people who collect taxes. And we adjourned at 9:18, and I thank all those that are here this evening for being there that evening as well. And thank you, Ms. Fritzy.
Thank you, Ms. Earls. Next item, Sonia.
Item number 5, consent agenda. Administration recommends approval as presented.
Madam Chair.
Yes, sir.
Item M and item B.
M as in
Mary.
Mary.
The external auditor agreement.
Okay.
The item V, the CTE bar and land reserve.
V and M. Anything else for you, Mr. Medina?
Or just V and M.
Just V and M. Anyone else would like to pull any items?
Hearing none, also move with the exception of VNM. I mean,
second.
MNV.
We have a first and a second.
Go ahead, Sonia, whenever you're ready.
Ms. Fritzy.
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez.
Yes.
Mr. Medina.
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mrs. Charles.
Yes.
Mrs. Iglesias.
Yes.
We'll take these in alpha, item M.
So I had a concern regarding this contract and had a lengthy discussion on a, if someone can recollect for me, what's the difference between a full audit or a comprehensive audit. So what do you have for us?
Ms. Kresge can answer that for you.
Perfect. So what does this contract include? Comprehensive or just a regular old audit?
This audit is a comprehensive, and just to be clear, the audit is not any more intensive than a normal audit, it's just more
reporting. Is it more expensive?
It's not more expensive, and we also have a representative from the audit from here.
Perfect. No question?
Madam Chair, please.
Yes, go ahead, Ms. Ropes.
So there will be no additional, what we paid them last year, there's no additional cost for these additional services?
Yes, ma'am.
That's great. None? That's
no,
great.
Ma'am. As you can see in your information mm-hmm. packet, you have $45,000 is what was been allocated, and that's been provided within their engagement agreement, all the description of what will be covered, and that includes a comprehensive.
And what did we pay them last year?
Last year, I believe it was, Ms. Anna, 32? 45.
So exactly the same
yes,
as last year. Okay, thank you, Madam Chair.
This, actually, another question.
Are you, you're done, Ms. Rose?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay.
This is the third year, is that correct, in this one?
Yes, sir.
And then after the fifth year, we have to go out for another.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So are we extending it for the full 5 years here? What are we doing?
No, we're extending it for another 2 years. Now, what's happening here is we're actually doing a consent to assign. We're actually assigning the contract to this new vendor.
Correct. And that's where I'm more concerned was
yes,
we had initially White Samaniego Campbell.
Right.
Now we're doing it to RPC because of the acquisition by RPC
yes,
of White Samaniego.
Correct. And all of that information has been provided in the backup.
I just want to make sure that we're all up and up. You know, it's always good to make sure. So this is going to term at the end of the fifth year, which
yes,
at that time, then we switch.
We'll go out to bid, sir.
Perfect. Thank you. That's all
the
questions.
And the policy, excuse me, and the policy would be that we switch out firms, correct?
Yes.
Well, technically, they could still bid for another 3 years.
We're not required to.
Yeah, but if they've done 2 years under RBC, then
they
rolled over. So they'll have an opportunity to bid within that, mm-hmm. but they would only have 3 years left in their contract because the policy states every 5 years we would
switch
external.
Yes.
So
the consideration can be made, but bear in mind we still do a vendor performance report and all of that. So it's all determined based on that.
Hearing that, awesome.
Second.
There was motion and a second. No questions, Ms. Fritzy?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item B, approval of the construction of the CTE form for the AMP program.
Thank you, Ms. Sonia. Really, the concern I had with this item, not only echoing Mr. Gatlin's concerns, were there's no amount here. There's no money amounts attached to this, which at this time, since we're doing a land valuation and facilities assessment, it would be extremely premature to not only build on land, but to also reserve land for a particular purpose. Considering we've exhausted a lot of our community and community leaders as well in an expensive, ordeal for $400,000. So I'm wondering why there, I guess two things. Why are we doing this at this time? And why is there no money attached to this? Usually we look at monies. So that's my questions to you.
And also, Ms. Massey, if would this money be coming from? We don't have any funding source. It also doesn't give us an answer on that as well.
So let me take this in stride here. my concern, Mr. Medina, you asked me why now.
Yes, why not?
As you know, I brought this before the board in 2013.
Correct.
And we had the money at that time. The CTE program had the money at the time to build a barn.
That was at Garcia, is that correct?
There was some controversy about whether to put it at Damian because by the time we began to try and decide where to put it, the district had purchased the property there at Garcia.
Correct.
And so there was some controversy over where. And so for whatever reason, we didn't accomplish building the barn. We used the money instead to put the well and cement dishes and get electricity to the piece of property.
On Damian?
No, Garcia. So we have spent about $40,000 on a well.
Okay.
We've spent about $16,000, I believe, getting the ditches cemented.
Mm-hmm.
We've spent about $8,000 getting a pole put in for the well. And so that money has already been spent on that piece of property. So moving forward, I have been listening to the conversation about the possibility of the district selling property.
Correct.
And we have already made a substantial investment in that piece of property for agricultural purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided that not only would I bring it to the attention of the board that we might want to set that piece of property aside as an ag farm, if you will, but we need a facility to house our farm equipment. We have a tractor that we've paid about $117,000 for.
Mm-hmm.
We have multiple pieces of equipment to go with that tractor, along with a stock trailer, a gooseneck trailer. I can just go on and on.
Of course.
And it's kind of strung all over the valley.
Mm-hmm.
Tractor sets over at Garcia. We have some pieces of our equipment at a farmer's hall. Some of it is sitting up at the high school.
Mm.
And some of that is safety issues.
Of course.
You know, getting our tractor down to the pieces of property that Mr. Gill and his students farm from the high school is a safety issue.
Oh, yeah.
And so when Mr. Gatlin says it was the board's idea to try and get this piece of property, Mr. Gatlin,
it was mine.
I brought that to the board, and I'm big enough to stand up and say that. I wanted to ensure that our ag students had a piece of property now
mm-hmm.
and in the future to use for an agricultural farm.
Can I ask you a question, though? On the Damian property, have we not made the same investment as we've made at Garcia?
We have a well on that piece of property, Mr. Medina, and I can't speak to that. Mr. Gill could.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the money that's been spent since I've been in this position is the money that I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But Mr. Gill can certainly speak to that. He knows the money that's been spent.
I guess the concern really I echo is the timing, and then you've addressed the timing, which I understand. You want to protect this property, but we're also beholden to the taxpayers when we have 100-plus acres. And I'm sure Mr. Catlin can actually give me the exact figure. We have a farm that was supposed to be built next to Childress or some sort of ag vogue.
Yes,
to me,
sir.
That to me would be the best location because you can house everything and farm at the same place. But that's not for me to sell. I'm not a professional. I'll leave it to the professionals. But I do feel a little uncomfortable when there's no monies. There's literally no monies attached to this, and you're asking us to go ahead and go with it.
Yes, sir. And so perhaps I'm involved. My intent was to bring the idea before the committee, and if they would move it on up to the school board, then, you know, to get approval just to do it. And then we have some fundraising ideas that we would like to
provide. Ms. Massey, you're being... I don't know if Mr. Gill, you want to answer how much money we spent at
Damian. How much infrastructure have we laid into Damian so far?
On Damian, aside from
the well.
We redid a well that was already put there when we purchased that piece of property from Indar Singh.
Yeah.
And that well was redone, I think, about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably in the neighborhood of about $35,000.
Mm-hmm.
With the exception of that, there's been nothing else.
There's
done
been nothing else.
With the exception of all of my student activity funds.
How much acreage is that Damian?
It's about 19.37 from fence to fence.
Okay. Again, and I echo the concern, there's no monies attached to it, so it's a concern. There's no funding source to be determined. There's a lot of unknowns. So for me to make that decision and move forward, and I don't know if the rest of the board feels this way, doesn't set well. It may fit well when we get the full report from our facilities master plan, when we get back the input from the committee. Then we can say, okay, here's what we'd like to do, here's what the community wants us to do. A lot of that, there was some ag in there, and I'm, for one, I do believe in ag, but I don't feel comfortable moving forward on something that has literally no money attached to it. That's like writing a blank check. Last time we did that, cost us a pretty penny. Did that quite a while ago, and we're still paying for it over at CMS. So I don't want to go down that route. So,
hey, Ms. Medina, let me answer. Let me, Ms. Massey, you're very big, but again, I go with Mr. Gill and Ms. Massey, so we've all been on this journey, and I appreciate. And one of the thinking why Damian versus Garcia is the county versus the city. From my understanding, being on the city, there's more rules, regulations. I know you talked about burning, and they told you can't burn, and fire department went out there. And so again, just knowing, you know, Mr. Gill is very nice to drive me around and of the Garcia property and looking at all the investments that we did. Again, echoing, we have a tractor, 117,000, a 348 series John Deere baler, 21,000, a Pro Cart Deluxe cartwheel rake, 8,000. So there's a lot of money out there that with no protection from the elements. And also, as Mr. Gill was telling me, everybody has one of those keys right from the tractor. So one of the...
Well, I don't know if we want to say that out loud.
Well, no one has. We live in a very good community. So when we're looking at the money, for me, you know, I was really looking at, we had over 234,000 left in pets, right? So I'm looking at investing, and one of the things from the facility master plan is the community wanting us to invest in our programs and invest in our kids. Know that Mr. Gill has over 200 kids, and also as, you know, the first time that they've been to nationals, the first time again, and that's without a barn. That's with nothing. Now, if we can invest in these children, invest in this program, spending, I know we were talking about $117,000 for the barn. And that's, again, and part of the idea is doing a project-based learning, having kids that come from a district where kids are part of the making the cement, where they tested the cement, you're part of the angles, you took geometry. I mean, there was a whole process in which many of our campuses that were my former district, that kids were part of the building of the school. So, and again, the idea was to take the 234,000 that's left from the PEZ and bringing them over to the 117,000. Again, investing in kids and investing in programs. So not being there, I'll take the blame for that one.
I understand that. I think I still believe it's a little premature, considering we've asked our community to engage in over a 6-month-long process. We if we don't take heed the information, or at least respect the time that they put into this process, we will never, just like Mr. Gatlin said, we will never not only get another bond pass, but it's almost going to be impossible to do anything worthwhile in this district for the next 5 to 10 years. I feel very uncomfortable, again, making a decision before we put it out there in the press, we've done a marketing blitz, we put all the information out there, and we have yet to hear that final. I would love to entertain this in June when everything comes in together, because I'm a data guy. I'd like to know where all this information's at. When you guys get rough, better numbers, even better. This land's not sold. There's a process for land, and I think Mr. Gatlin can speak to that, and so can our attorney. There's a process to sell this land. It's not going to be sold tomorrow. If we decide this now, this looks and creates more animosity towards this board as it already is, because we've basically uncovered our books and said we have 113 acres of unused property. You've used Damian, you're about to use Garcia, great. But what about the other 100 acres? You see what I'm saying? I think if this was just brought at a better time, it'd be better received.
Madam Chairman?
Yes, as long as, Mr. Medina, are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, do you want to let Mr.
Yes, please,
first?
Mr.
Okay. Go ahead, Mr.
The only comment I have, which, and I totally agree with you, Mr.
Mm-hmm.
Medina, and with all due respect, though, I wish someone would have brought that to our attention before we'd invested all that money over there.
I know. And I'm sorry that information wasn't given to you.
Unfortunately, that
didn't
fall on us.
Yeah, hey, and I actually admire the passion, because I did not know there was 200 kids in ag. I didn't know that we invested this much in it. I personally try to stay away from the management side of it. I'm more about the governance side. But when you give us a zero amount check or a blank check as sort of trustees for the district, we can't make a decision based on that. And considering the timelines of our facilities master plan, we have to heed those timelines before we decide. Because if we decide before, all that work will build more animosity than if we wait. Give it a little bit of time to air out. That's just my heat to you. But I appreciate, I'm sorry that nobody told you that, Mr. Miss Massey.
Madam Chair,
go ahead, Ms.
Mr. Medina, I find it impossible to believe the facilities master plan, there were 120 people on average that took part in that, online, in the cafeteria, wherever we went. And they were not a consistent group. If you will look at the sign-in sheets, it's a very inconsistent group. Some come one time, they never come back. Some come two times, they never come back. 120 people is not representative of 6,000 children that are in this district. And for you to quench the children in our district and their desires to go forward, to quench teachers' desires to give these children something that is over and above what they would normally get in day-to-day sitting in a classroom, something that these children on the back wall, and I'm sorry to call you children, young men, they're real men, get out and they bust dirt. I mean, they're sod busters. These guys get out, they bust up the dirt. They have done amazing work. They've brought home national representation and accreditation to our community, and you're saying no to them because of 120 people that are inconsistent in a facilities master plan, which is exceedingly flawed. I've read the entire document. It's a flawed document. I'll take issue with that sometime in May. This is not the time for that. What Mr. Gill and Ms. Massey are asking for is what this board has been alluding to for all these years, that we care about kids. We care about them having the best. We care about them going forward. We care about them competing nationally. I read our statement, our mission, and our vision statement. CTE has accomplished it, and we're going to muzzle them and say, mm-mm, nope. At 120 people on that facilities plan, they're the ones who are going to tell what it's going to be like. And I know half of them don't live here either. That's wrong, Mr. Medina. Let these kids go forward. Give them a barn. We've given them a tractor. We've given them these other pieces of equipment, yet we can't give them a barn to house them in. You have to leverage your investments. I know you know that. You're always saying that you're a numbers man. When you think of the investment that we've made and the investment that the teacher, Ms. Massey, and our students and their parents have made, how can you say anything but yes to anything that they'd ask for? How do you literally hobble, tie down people who are trying to go forward and do the very best and make each and every one of us in this room look good? And they've done it. How can we tell them no? And as far as the price tag on it, I'd be willing to give them a $1,000 check right now as seed money to put up that barn. And I will. I'll write you a check right now. Absolutely. And I will go out and fundraise for you tirelessly. Childress is not the place that needs a farm. That is not in the valley. It's not in a farming. It's not in it. We are an agrarian community historically. I have to tell you, Chalo Garcia would roll over in his grave if he heard that we were putting a stumbling block in front of agricultural students. School's named after him. He's one of our founding fathers, as you well know. I can see no reason that this board would say no to students, to teachers, and to a program that have shown us everything and given us everything. And when they ask for the tools to do it better, we say no. I find that impossible. And Mr. Gill, I'm going to write you a check right now, and you've got my word. And I will fundraise for you until we can get enough money to have this on the ground and up and running. And I have a feeling it won't be very long.
So, Chair?
We have one more comment from Mr. Medina.
Or so, I take difference he's saying that I'm hobbling along. There's no monies attached to this. I'm making my sure that all my taxpayers out there don't have an increase in their bills next year.
But
I'm
making not. Sure. Ms. Dr. Gallagher,
we're in a deficit right now.
He's
whether
got
you
the
want
money.
To admit it that we're in a deficit or not, we've invested monies in this. I'm not saying that whatever the facility's master plan is going to be 100%, we're going to take it to the bank and say yes. But it's input from the community. It's input, 100% input from the community that we asked for. As a board, we asked for.
You've got our
so
community
why would you just
sitting here, as many people as more now than were at any
it
of those
no
committee
here,
meetings.
Ms. Searles, and I don't know if anybody out there would like us to write a blank check at this time.
I don't
when we're
think
at a deficit.
We're writing a check. I think all we're doing is
we're
saying
writing a blank check as
you
is
can go forward, do better for our kids, begin the process. Not, too bad. We know you did a really good job, and we know we say all this stuff on the mission statement, but you know, we don't really believe that. And
I
we
never
don't
said
really,
I didn't, Ms. Searles.
We don't
what
really
I'm suggesting
care
if
the
is
children
that
have what they need.
They bring this back at the proper time, not prior to when we actually are actually
so
looking at our stuff.
All of the computers that are on tonight's agenda, would you say to that all should come back too, that we have no money for that as well? And would you say that those computers, you know what, kids? You can't put them in the class. Go sit out in the parking lot with your computer.
Unlike the CTE bar, and the computers
exactly.
actually have a funding source and an amount.
Okay, Mr. Medina, Ms. Searles.
I'm done.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm passionate about this, and I'm passionate about
I understand
about
that, Ms. Searles, but we also, for time, we
don't
we
have
understand.
3-minute limits.
I understand that, but we also
and I
need to let other people
a huge part of our community
speak,
and I think they know that.
Can I?
And all our eyes are on us. Remember that.
Madam Chair, can I have the floor?
Go ahead, Mr. Rodriguez.
Just real quick, Ms. Campbell, I have some questions.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
In regards to this process, what would the process be?
The process, sir, would have to be that we would have to bid it out. And actually look at the numbers, do a request for proposal, and of course with Mr. Vasquez's help, Mr. Bruno Vasquez, we would get the specifications together and actually bid it out. At that time, we would have the bids back, evaluate and look at the numbers, negotiate with, of course, the highest ranked vendor, and then we would probably come back with a vendor, the recommendation of the vendor. And at that time, you can decide if you want to go with that. You'll be able to see a number, actually.
So at that, go ahead,
if
Mr. Dorius.
Madam Chair,
yes, sir.
Just real quick. So, the other question that I have: what is the standard practice in regards to procurement issues of this matter?
Of this matter, you would actually have to involve an architect. Then, an architect would actually have to lay out all the blueprints and the specification of what's required. He would also provide you with recommendations of whether the piping, the laying out, all that stuff. And then once we go out to bid with Mr. Vasquez's help, we would have all the specifications requiring that all the permits and, of course, all the other areas that need to be covered to build this barn.
And has that been done within this project?
No.
No, sir.
And
we don't have record of that, sir.
On past projects, or do we go through that process before it comes to the board?
Yes, sir. We did that with the Deanna Davenport. We've done that. And, of course, as you know, when we build schools, we have to go through that process. You have to first reach out to an architect, select an architect, and then you have your build the specifications from there.
I guess I have several other questions, but I'll give you the floor.
That you, as you were asking, is what I asked. So go ahead, Mr. Rodriguez.
The other concern is what's the timeline in regards to this project?
When you bid it out, it would take you anywhere from 60 to 90 days, depending on the length of the negotiation process. Whether there's questions, the vendor comes back and you have questions, you have gray areas that you still need to cover, and then of course the negotiation portion, the evaluation and the negotiation portion.
In regards to staff, is there a rush for this, or?
We just want to get started.
And so.
Mr. Rodriguez, let me
go back a little ways. When we were talking back in 2013 about building the barn, Mr. Padilla and I came before the board and we presented the idea. And the board gave us approval to move forward. And at that point in time, we began to do just exactly what Mrs. Campbell is suggesting. And that was my intent this time. I am absolutely not trying to pull any wool over anybody's eyes. That's not my intent. My intent, again, was to present it to the committee last Wednesday evening and then present it to you. At that point in time, you know, if the decision was made tonight, if you said, Mrs. Massey, you know, let's go ahead and move forward, I've already spoken with Mr. Vasquez. I know there's got to be an architect involved. I know that, I know the process. And so that was my next step.
And in regards to, let's say, have we done any budget projections, hard numbers with, I guess, Mr. Vasquez? Would he have that?
I took it upon myself to contact Mueller, and so I know what the barn would cost. If we were to put a 60 by 80 foot barn on that piece of property, I've been in contact with Mueller, I have that figure. I've been in contact with the gentleman that we were dealing with on the other barn. I just had him come out and say, if we were to build this barn today, what would you charge us? I have that figure. Have I worked through everything? Absolutely not, and I will not stand
so
here before you.
So what is the high end of the budget, the projected budget?
Right now, last time when we were trying to build a barn, it was $232,000. And I sincerely believe that it will cost just about that to get a barn up.
$200,000.
And we're talking about money. We're talking about everything that it's going to take to, you know, if you just want a building.
A building?
$40,000.
I was going to say it's about
35 six. 35 six. The building. But that doesn't get your plumbing, that doesn't get a road to it, doesn't get it handicapped accessible, you know, all of those things that we have to be mindful of. So,
so the projected is 200 and something, and we have.
I would say 200,000. That's
250 maybe. Just
probably
to
okay.
230.
Let's go to the low end. Okay, 230.
Yes, sir.
And we have within the Kate money. I know that she has set aside.
That money's gone, Mr. Rodriguez. That money, when we didn't get to build the barn, that's
the
money.
That in Garcia.
Yes, that's the money that was invested in Garcia.
Okay.
The well and the ditches
then
and the electrical.
Within this fiscal year budget, how much did we set aside as a district?
I don't have anything in the CTE budget for the barn.
Nothing?
No.
So we're at zero.
Yes, sir.
And then I've heard there's fundraising that we've done.
Mr.
Is there
Gil
any funds currently?
Oh, no, not that we've done.
Not anything like
they
that because
mind.
We didn't want to do anything premature. So,
currently there's no funding from the district side, whether it's federal or state or local.
There is no.
And then
CTE
we're looking at fundraising, right? As well.
We've talked about some stuff, ideas.
I mean, I know how fundraising is tough, and I know you all fundraise for different. And next time, I also need some turkey and some, so make sure you hit me up next time. But one of the things that concerns me, I prefer this is something that should be funded from whether it's CAPE money, federal funds, state or local. And I think what we need to really work with staff, and whether it's this next fiscal year, but we need to make sure that we do it right. And then we also need to hear from the community. I know some of these students spoke to us, but we also, hopefully they could attend some of the facility stakeholders meeting and some of the parents. But that way we have that away from us and we have an actual budget. And maybe if we have money to set aside this next fiscal year or phase it out, is there any money within this next fiscal year?
Mr. Rodriguez, the money that I had available through CTE funds, if you will remember, we were running a schedule at the high school. Students were attending 10 classes a week, AB. And so students were sitting in multiple CTE classes. And we were just getting gobs of money for our program. That's not the case anymore. House Bill 5 has forced us to require our students to select a pathway in eighth grade, and they are coming through, and most students, with the exception of 11th and 12th, they're still kind of helter-skelter, but 9th, 10th, and next year 11th, they're on a pathway, and they're sitting in one CTE class instead of two or three.
I haven't really looked on the federal, especially on the ESSA that every student succeeds at, which took over the No Child Left Behind Act. I guess I know that they're looking at funding different stuff differently in regards to the federal side, and that's where we get the majority. What's our percentage in regards to the federal funds that we get?
Okay.
What to, are we looking at budget? I mean,
yes,
this
but
is,
we that's not part of the agenda item right now.
Steve, am I okay with them? I'm looking at budget money for this issue.
You have it, sure. And there's not an issue to discuss it.
So within next fiscal year, we haven't set any money aside.
No, sir.
And I guess that's my concern. I want to make sure that we set the money aside if we're going to do this project, and that we set the exact money that needs to be done. And we also need to address the community in regards to the facility stakeholders. I would say that we address this issue at a later time. I don't think we're in a time crunch, especially not having that money. And I would hope to hear from the community at that point. So my preference would be to table this till we get further information so we can make a sound decision.
Is that a motion, Mr. Dolder?
Yes.
Madam Chair, I've got more.
That's a motion.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Ms.
I've
Searles.
Not finished discussion yet.
Okay.
So, all they're asking for this evening is the ability to go forward. The ability to go forward and look for funding sources, am I correct?
Yes.
Then why would you work towards a goal if when you can achieve the goal, there's the possibility that someone's going to tell you no? I think that all that's being asked for here is the ability to research, to approve the construction of a barn, not to fund it. Nobody's asked us for the funding for it. Just to approve the construction of it so that we can go forward as a district in giving these students and giving our program the tools that they need to do the best that they can in their subjects. And am I correct? This is...
It's also just designate the land as farm use.
Go ahead, Mr. Hold on, let Ms. Searles finish.
I believe, and maybe I'm wrong, but what I've heard in the past two meetings, and we had a very large conversation on this. You were not at the meeting that we had that you were a committee member of, Mr. Medina. We had a long talk about this. You came in, I asked you about it. You said, yeah, I'm good with it. We made a recommendation to this board that this was a good thing to do.
I wasn't present for the presentation.
No,
in fact,
but you came
Mr.
in.
Gill outside.
You came in late that evening. So I think what they're saying here is that if they get all their ducks in a row, will we say yes? And they're asking that this not be part of a chopping block, that this be something that our students have as a legacy handed down to them, that they know they have a farm. The El Paso School District has a farm. Nobody ever comes to them and says, you know what?
How big is that farm, Ms. Searles?
I think their farm's about 30 or 40 acres. Mr. Gill, do you know how big the Coronado farm is?
So you're basically suggesting that we have a farm that's, we're 6,000, they're 60,000. That we have a farm at the same scale?
They're not 60,000, that's Coronado.
It's just Coronado High School.
They don't use it for the entire school, for the entire school district. It's just for Coronado.
Mr. Medina and Ms. Searles, can you take turns with the floor? Because that way, so Ms. Searles finish, and then Mr. Medina, and then we have Mr. Rodriguez.
So, no, and they actually get their ag teacher a home to live in on their farm. And they actually have a barn for their equipment. And, you know, we also have the other side to this coin that we haven't discussed are the little children that are right there at Garcia that I've already had parents who have read this and have called me or have stopped me in the hall here, two or three of them, and said, You mean our kids could, like, see animals? Our kids could have a garden and grow stuff? And I said, yeah, I think that's pretty much what they're setting out. We also have a greenhouse at the middle school that is unused. That was also discussed. Bring that over and get it in use. Get these kids from little bitty ones on up seeing what Dr. Galavis and what this board has been supporting in curriculum is project-based learning. Instead of just food comes to your table and now you eat it, you actually see, God, you put a seed in the ground and it grew. And I got to help do that. And my fundraiser is going to be, we're going to have a farmer's market and we're going to sell our little vegetables. It seems to fit in everything that we've discussed as a board and as a district for learning methods across the board, for the little baby ones to the big ones. I don't understand the pushback.
It's not pushback, Ms. Searles. I do believe Ms. Campbell will actually be the first one to say this is not in accordance with the district policies. I also believe there's a conflict of interest because this land abuts your house.
It doesn't abut my house.
You can see it from your back.
So we have a motion and a second.
I just real quick, I want to clarify that my agenda, I mean my my motion was to include that you all still do this legwork, come back to us and
in accordance with district policy.
Yeah. So I'm not, my motion was to not to say no, my motion is to table it, have administration come back with us with further information.
Exactly what I was suggesting,
and then we could make
come
that
back
decision.
Later day.
Have the
may
chair.
May I state this? I'm holding in my hand the board notes from Tuesday, December 17th, 2013, and the consent agenda, item P, CT Agricultural Farm Project approved. Does that have any bearing on anything?
Unfortunately, it doesn't, only because we're in a different fiscal environment. Currently, we're at a budget loss, and we're projecting to be at a bigger loss. So, fortunately, each year, even if we did decide then, we have to review that because it's such an old RFP that was put out.
Madam Chair,
we have a motion in a second. So,
I'm gonna.
Could Mr. Blanco
just,
please?
I'm gonna call
this?
The question.
We've got an issue here, though. Of was this really already approved, Mr.
Blanco? I would say it. It
could
was approved.
Mr.
And they
Blanco,
can go with it. The problem
could
is there's no funding source.
Damian Elementary, as the structure be put into Damian Elementary next to.
It was to build a CTE barn.
2013.
They have the
December 2013.
At a board meeting?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Then it has bearing.
What was it? What was the? Do you have? Can you read it again? I'm sorry. What was it?
Mr. Blanco, they have minutes stating that this barn was already approved in 2013.
It becomes
barn.
A
not,
funding
not,
source.
Not the
well,
barn.
A barn.
Yes, ma'am.
I like that.
It's on the consent agenda. You'd have to look at, Sonia, you'd have to go back and look at the backup to see what it was. Because these are just.
It's for Damian.
These are just
minutes.
Board.
Approval
just
minutes.
Where,
no, there was that's no. What held it up.
It's
Mr. Buckle, can you give me the date?
Yes.
So I can go back and look?
December 17th, 2013.
Let me see if I can find them.
Madam Chair, this is all included within my agenda item. So if you all could research, make sure, and then get back to us, that would be great. And so I have the question. I call the question.
Second.
Chair. May I ask a question on his
motion? Motion, yes.
So this is not stopping the. Of course, we're not going to move forward because the funds are not there yet. So is this just to start the process? Is this what you want
to
do in the future?
To come back, research the information, and then come back to us, and then we can make that decision at that point.
Thank you.
Does everybody understand what the motion is?
No.
Can you clarify your motion for Ms. Searles, please, Mr.
My
Lovitas?
Motion is to have administration continue, look at what the projected budget is, look at researching if it had been approved. If the board did make a decision on that, it's probably varying. The problem is the funding source. So all that needs to be researched, provided to us, the board, so we can make a sound decision. That's what my motion entails.
And Dr. Galavis, didn't you do all that already?
Yes, ma'am.
not been provided.
Was that yes?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I think he's trying to tell us that.
Then where's the backup information in regards to this agenda item?
We didn't get any of that.
I already called a question, and there's a second.
Yeah, we have a first and a second, so let's go ahead and move on this item. Sonia?
Ms. Fritzi?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
You know, I think that all y'all are doing is stalling. And I'm sorry to say that, and that you're aborting the whole process of what's happened. These poor people have come all these nights.
Ms. Searles, I'm so sorry.
I vote no.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Searles.
Mrs. Iglesias.
And that's not a vote for no to the barn, it's a vote for no to the issue.
Now, we have to vote on my motion, which was to have administration research. That was just for the question.
The second motion?
The original motion.
So to call the question. Okay. So now we actually have a motion.
So
yes.
There was a motion and a second.
Hold on,
could
I'm
you
confused.
Repeat the motion?
So we call the question, and that was to cease discussion. That was this vote, and now it's to vote on the actual motion, which was to have administration get back with us with all the detailed information.
That was the first one.
You made a motion and seconded it, and you all voted.
He called the question.
I called the question, Steve, and there was a second within the discussion.
But you made a motion, so does the board understand that they voted on Mr. Rodriguez's motion?
Yes, not on the
that was
question.
The call to question.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll just leave that at that.
Yeah, no, it was the other way. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, then fine. So if the board believes and you need clarification, you can go ahead and read it.
Okay, so the clarification was, Mr. Rodriguez, can you clarify what we just voted on and then what your next...
So my motion was to call the question, which was to cease discussion. That was what we voted on, and now we're voting on the motion to have staff get back with us on all the information so we can make a sound decision.
Okay.
Madam President, I am so sorry, but for the record, can we redo this vote? Just
yes.
So that for the record, we're going to say, number
call
one,
the question.
To call the question, number two, the actual motion, so there's no good question as to what we did?
Yeah, I just think by consent of the board, if everybody understands that, then we're fine.
Yeah.
But some people understand it's called a question.
Yeah.
Other people understand it's
did somebody call it different? Does somebody abstain from not calling the question? Then we're in agreement.
Board
now
procedure.
Let's vote on it.
There's no point of order required if everybody's in agreement.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can go on to your motion.
So, your motion, Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
State it, Mr. Rodriguez. Sorry.
My motion is to have administration get all the details in regards to the agenda item, see if it's already been approved, one, and then go back with timelines, budget, and then come back to us. And I want to make a comment on that. I did learn my parliamentary procedures from FFA as a freshman. So.
Mr. Rodriguez, so at this time, you would like for administration, we're just giving them a directive, is that correct? Okay. So does the board understand what they're voting on? Yes? Okay, Sonia.
And it was seconded by Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Ms. Fritzi?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
No.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
No.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
No.
And Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
Motion passes.
So at this point in time, would you please clarify what Mr. Gill and I are supposed to be doing?
Make sure.
What is our part in this? What are we supposed to do?
Just go back and bring some detail and go through the process with Ms. Campbell.
I can't.
That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all so much for coming.
Next item, Sonia.
Item number six, new business, a discussion and recommendation that will allow CISD to exercise its option to extend current contract, which was awarded on May 26, 2015, as RFP number 15-10, Food Service Manager Company with Southwest Food Service Excellence, LLC, for a second one-year term available as part of this contract award. The recommended term will expire June 30, 2017. Please note, item was postponed from March 2016 meeting. Ms. Pekarsky, Ms. Campbell.
Do we need a motion first, or?
I believe Ms. Searles had asked for us to research some information through TDA. Ms. Searles?
So I reached out to TDA in reference to the breakfast in the classroom, and if we were to delete this program in its entirety, it would take about 30 days before TDA could be able to approve the document.
So what does that
then
mean?
So then that puts us out of any kind of funding or anything. It would stall, basically, until this contract could get reapproved.
There's two different issues, right?
Yes, sir.
There's one, which is a renewal of the contract, and then there's two of whether we want breakfast in the classroom.
Correct. And bear in mind, we're still running into the timeline. If this documentation has to be submitted to TDA. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Madam Chair?
Go ahead. Are you done, Mr. Rodriguez?
Well, I would like to see, I guess my concern is just, that was one of the things that was at the meeting, and those are two separate issues. If hearing none, Lori, was
so
that
at
the
this
issue?
Time we're not addressing anything about breakfast in the classroom. We are strictly addressing whether to renew the contract,
and that's what's on tonight's
okay.
agenda.
Can I ask
so
you?
I so move then.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead, Mr. Medina.
What happens if we don't approve? Just looking at both sides of this.
We'll basically be at a standstill, sir, for 30 days until TDA says it's a go.
But it's separate. There's no item.
Standstill. What does that mean?
No, if you don't,
there's no
you don't
item.
Go back to food service.
You go back to food service. Immediately? Or is it August?
July
1st. So their contract needs to be approved in order to continue food service as of July 1st. If we were to not approve it tonight, would that July 1st be in jeopardy?
Yes.
Be that 30 days. That's when that 30 days starts. It's not like you're scaring me and thinking that kids aren't going to have food tomorrow.
No, they'll have food, sir, but it's just we won't hear anything from TDA until 30 days.
Basically, they won't just send out the different contracts based on what we want. We can't ask them for six different versions. They will send us the version once we tell them what we want.
So let's say we approve it tonight, and then later discussions we say, listen, breakfast in the classroom, it's a bust, let's continue doing the pilot program. What's that going to look like? Is there a way to amend it at a later date without going into a 30-day standstill, or are we basically saying let's go for another year?
Well, currently, breakfast in the classroom is in the contract.
As a requirement across all elementary schools?
I don't believe it specifies.
No.
It's just in the contract, and that's why we only did one.
So in reality, part of the contract, as long as we have breakfast in the classroom at any one of our campuses, which SFE has told us that it's very successful at the high school. My daughter enjoys her breakfast every morning. She's at the high school.
Breakfast
in the classroom. Yes, but I'm saying if we were to introduce it, let's say, at the high school.
Right.
With
or
the
middle school, so whatever.
Right, it's
it
not, but we, yeah, right. But,
and if I may, within this contract, we outline that we would offer it if we never stated specifically what campus.
So we're not tied to providing it across all elementary campuses
right.
at this point.
We already have it at Childress.
Just one campus.
Yes.
So Childress, and we know that model, based on our input from last week, it's not working. At least I'm going to be the first one to say it's just not working, or it's we need to tweak something. You know, and I think we had a discussion with SFE in the past about this. It's not working at the elementary. Let's look at someplace else, even after dinner programs, even though it's not stated in the contract. It's something that we can look at to generate additional funds because there is some funds there.
So, Madam Chair, could I ask a question?
Yes, as long as Mr. Medina
is
done. Go ahead, Ms. Rose.
Historically, our food service program has always had just an unbelievable fund balance. What is our fund balance right now for the food service program?
Normally, we look at fund balance as of the end of the year. So we ended last year with $2,160,000.
Last year we ended?
Yeah.
With that
plus.
Amount?
Yes.
Okay. And what are we at right now?
Well, the current estimate that I received from...
I'm sorry, Ms. Rose, were you done?
Oh, she's going to
okay.
Yeah.
That's the question.
The current
that's
estimate
question.
That
yes,
I received from SFE, we had capital expenditures for Reyes of $870,000. I'm sorry, not for Reyes, for Neches.
For the new cafeteria?
Cafeteria. Mm-hmm. And then with the deficit that we're projecting this year of $425,000 would leave us an ending fund balance of $864,000.
So we spent a pretty amount for Neches, and then we're in the red as it speaks because if we did 2.1 minus the, what was the initial amount for Natchez?
870,000.
So even there, that's 1.3 million that we've exhausted this year. Is
but
that correct?
The 870 was a requirement from TDA because.
Totally understand. Totally understand. What I'm suggesting is, if you just look at raw numbers alone, we have a 2.1 million fund balance. Now we're down.
864.
So we've lost $864,000 this year.
No,
lost 1.3 million.
We spent 800.
I guess my question, has there been any major adjustments to the federal law funding program for lunches and breakfast or food, whatever?
Well, if I could address the first part of that question is, we haven't lost $1.3 million this year. We've spending capital on Natchez, and I believe Race included in the number as well. Maybe I'm wrong, but it's Natchez, about $870,000, $900,000. Then our realized loss this year is approximately $400,000. And because of those things, because of the original way we set this thing up, we had the intent to be breakfast in the classroom district-wide. But of course, we didn't roll that out.
Mm-hmm.
Once it was all said and done, we can't move the target mid-year.
Of course.
In the budget building process. BCE's been, you know, fairly successful on our side in terms of profitability of what those things look like.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we food service has not physically lost $1.3 million. We had to decrease our fund balance per TDA regulations of 3 months operating funds on hand.
Really? I understand.
By over $1 billion.
What does 3 months look like?
3 months operating?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right at about $1 million, 1.2.
Oh. So, Madam Chair,
go ahead.
Ms. Bikarski, you were telling us that we were an $800,000 deficit in our fund, our food service. You showed that in your.
There was a number like that. I agree.
Yeah.
Oh, on the
uh-huh.
Okay, that was compared to the budget. That was budget revenue versus budget projected revenue.
Okay. Is that all your question, Ms. Earle?
What we're looking now.
Kind of.
Revenues versus expenditures.
So we just got handed, I won't ask you on this because it's got Mr. Hudson on it, but from the committee you heard everyone was displeased, not happy with breakfast in the classroom, and we asked you very specifically to come back with a different model for the entire board to hear that excluded breakfast in the classroom. If the teachers weren't happy, the kids weren't happy, and the lunch ladies weren't happy. And so did you do that? Do you have a different model for us?
There is a, hopefully you were handed this, which shows that there is a break even. If there is no breakfast in a classroom except with children where they have it right now. They're projecting that they could break even.
But keep it at Childress, where they've already told us they don't want it.
Okay, my question.
But is that what you're saying? Is the answer yes or no?
It could be that, or we could discontinue Childress, but
I have a question, Ms. Earls. Are you done? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay. And this is for SFE. Middle school and high school right now, we're having breakfast, not breakfast in the classroom. And the kids are enjoying shakes, graham crackers, quick to go things, especially for our kids that get there late and want to grab something or get there 10 minutes before the bell's going to ring. Would we be, and I don't know if this is a proper legal term, abiding by contract if we just, those shakes and graham crackers going to the classrooms, that would be breakfast in the classroom. Correct?
Absolutely.
Because you don't tell us what we have to serve, and we tell you what you need to serve our kids, right?
Per guidelines.
So we would be abiding by the contract if at middle school and high school level we are taking shakes and graham crackers, I'm just giving an example, into the classroom. So we abide. Meanwhile, we figure out what is it we need to straighten out as far as at the elementary level.
Yes.
Okay.
Does anybody clarify both
those schools of thought there? We've started working on that plan with the alternative delivery methods versus just BIC, breakfast in the classroom.
Right.
There's numerous areas. There's just what you mentioned. There's straight breakfast in the classroom that happens at Bill Tribble's Elementary currently. And then there's also other delivery methods where it's BIC in theory, but served in the cafeteria. So it eliminates a number of the, I guess, classroom complaints. Because at the end of the day, BIC, no matter what all we've heard, our surveys, our participation absolutely shows that the kids are absolutely excited about it and very encouraged by it. So if
we could just please ask the audience to refrain from comments while we're having conversation. Thank you.
So alternative delivery options are definitely available. Yes, ma'am. And we've already begun working on that plan, working with the cafe managers, the building principals, coming up with an agreeable delivery format, if you will.
Question, Mr. Medina? Or, yes. I'm sorry, Ms. Quintana was first.
Well, I'm looking at the numbers, and I have called Ms. Pekarski earlier. And if we were not to do breakfast in the classroom at all, we would just break even. Do we have a guarantee that we would just break even? And even if we do break even, don't we want to build up our funds in food service since we're so low? The numbers are pretty scary because we're worried about money. Well, this is money, and I'm worried about it. That's my opinion.
Guarantees are obviously built into the budget during the budget building process. And obviously, we strive to overachieve on those things and produce surpluses that the district is excited about, as well as getting to our three-month operating fund and keeping it sustained at that level, and obviously exceeding it so you can spend it on capital and new equipment, things like that. Yeah,
thank
you. Go ahead, Mr. Medina.
Has there been any fundamental changes to the way the federal food program is monitored, funded? Has there been any changes in the last few years that may have accounted for something like this? The changes in our fund balance or changes in our profit? I know that they've been more stringent on what you need to buy, but has that impacted overall how you deliver food to kids, whether it's breakfast in the classroom or in the cafeteria overall?
Well, the increase of reimbursable meals is certainly encouraged.
Okay.
And so they've given a number of different suggestions and strongly considered the school districts go the route of different funding programs, things like CEP Provision 2, all those, recurrent Provision 2. They've addressed a lot of those things because they find it very conducive to feeding kids, allowing accessible food to the kids that need it. As far as funding and how those things are considered, they've definitely increased the mandate of requirements that goes on to the trade, so food costs have gone up a tremendous amount. Have they offset it from a revenue standpoint? Absolutely not.
So they up the requirements on the food, but not on the funding side.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That was what I need. Thank you so much,
Ms. Searles.
Yes. Is there a reason?
Yeah.
Everybody's been real happy with go eat breakfast in the cafeteria. Eat your hot breakfast. It appears to be financially a gain. It appears to make everybody happy. Why not any longer? Why can't they have a hot breakfast in the cafeteria? Why does the determining point have to be this breakfast in the classroom?
I'm absolutely not saying that is absolutely a must, but what I'm strongly sharing with you, and as I did in the committee last week, was that bringing in SFE was a number one priority for the school board to up the quality program that you currently offer to your students. Via the increase in lunch participation and all those things, I think we've definitely seen that succeeding for your district. Why is the must to increase our participation numbers on that? It's simply to offset the cost of everything that we did bring to you. Endless salad bar to every student definitely cost a considerable amount of money that you didn't have to spend on before. Offsetting the program expense of SFE coming in to offer these proprietary concepts and recipes and surveys and roving chefs and farmers markets and all these things that we're doing for your students, offsetting those costs.
But I guess what I'm getting at, why do they have to eat in the classroom?
It's the number one way to ensure that we are capturing every single student every single day.
Because I don't think they're eating their food. I mean, you may have passed out the tray to every one of them, but if they don't eat it,
we miss them. I mean, you know this, you're in the food service. Mm-hmm. You miss the mark if they didn't need it. I see that as the stumbling stone here that we discussed at length in the committee meeting, that breakfast in the classroom isn't popular, and that maybe at the high school where the kids don't spill, where the teacher doesn't have to take instructional time because everybody can just, you know, they can, they're not little children. Is there any reason it has to be at the elementary school? Miss Fritzy just said her daughter loved it at
the
high school.
Yeah, and that was my point exactly, is that we can do middle school, high school smoothies and graham crackers, alternative things. But we don't want to come into the same where we're hearing that the kids are not eating. Obviously at the high school, it's popular. I know because I've gone to the cafeteria when my daughter picks up her smoothie and I see kids walking in and out with those. Those smoothies are very popular. But they're taking it to the classroom. The teachers allow it. So,
and again, I think Ms. Fritz, you mentioned the comment about how else can we do it. BIC, no ma'am, to answer your question, Ms. Earls, but alternative delivery methods, we've already been working through that with building principals and cafe managers to achieve the same common goal that we're all trying to achieve.
But nobody's telling it. Martha Tarski, are you reporting that to us? I haven't heard it, if you are.
The reason that we didn't present a contract that had zero breakfast in the classroom is because, as Ms. Campbell pointed out, that would take an additional 30 days, which would put us out of compliance with TDA. So as long as we are having it somewhere in the district, that's why you have presented with
that's my point. Exactly. Get a cart with smoothies and graham crackers where it's already popular. We have a go ahead, Ms. Gonzalez.
I have a question. You mentioned that the number one way to capture students is breakfast in the classroom. My grandson is in that campus and he prefers to eat breakfast at home. And I think that the way this is to capture students to have breakfast. I think you're doing it to capture numbers because not everyone. Not everybody eats in a classroom. Just because they get served doesn't mean that they eat. And my grandson does that. He doesn't eat at home. He's not a number. He is a child like many other children that are in that campus. I think that we heard it very well that day, the teachers, some of the parents, and I'm speaking as a grandparent. I don't think you're saying that the kids seem to be happy. I guess you're referring to the district as a whole, but not at that particular campus. SFE here is quality. Yes, there's no issue with that. I see that as an issue that SFE doesn't want to work with the district on the teacher's complaints, on the student's complaints, on the parents' complaints. And I see this as a big issue. If you're presenting us two contracts, either do this or else. I don't think that's the way the district should be operating, and I don't think SFE should be operating with us too. We're here to represent the community, we're here to represent the district, and we're here to represent the children that attend that campuses. And I think that those comments that were brought to our attention last week are being ignored. And I don't think that's correct. Yes, there's lunch participation, and that's not the issue here. It is breakfast in the classroom. And I think that instead of calling it breakfast in the classroom, I think it should be called breakfast in the cafeteria. Yes.
Absolutely, we present no issue with that. We're absolutely trying to partner with the district on coming to a balanced budget at a minimum to obviously ensure financial stability to the program. I apologize about my comments. I'm not merely trying to capture the numbers here. Obviously, it certainly helps. That's not what I'm trying to do.
And that's how the funds are coming in, because if you there's 20 students and there are 20 breakfasts are delivered, that doesn't mean that the 20 breakfasts that are being served are being eaten by the kids. There, some of them, half of it might be going to waste. And I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know what is correct.
But there's already concerns, there's already, I mean, they voiced enough. And then, I know tonight is the letter that we have to take action. But you didn't meet us halfway. You did not meet them halfway, not me, them. And I'm their voice, one of their voices today. I'm one out of seven.
Yes, ma'am.
Any other comments or questions?
I do have a couple of questions. Is HR here?
No.
I just
no.
want question clarified. I guess Prokarski or Mr. Galavis, at no point in time will our employees become part of SFE staff within this contract, right? Just to clarify
it's still
that,
the
because that's
model.
Something.
Still the hybrid model, is that correct, sir?
Yes, it's 100%.
Our employees
and
the hybrid model is your management and their staff, and their staff belongs to us. Our staff belongs to us.
Correct.
And okay.
So let me finish with some of the questions that I have. One of the major concerns that we have as a board is, and we've addressed it, and I think part of the problem was the board is the one that forced the breakfast in the classroom in regards to our number one goal is making sure every kid eats before learning, because it has serious consequences in regards to how the student learns. And so it continues to be a goal. There's different models out there, and one of the major things that we need you as SFE and the district to do is find out what type of models work, and we also need to get the buy-in. I think that's one of the issues, and then we also need to look at some of the concerns that I saw, which was in regards to some of the nutritional content. And so one of the things is, as we continue to grow as a district and we continue to provide a better product for our kids, and hopefully providing more kids the opportunity to have breakfast, whatever that may be, but that's sort of the how and not the what, and that's administration to, get that and hopefully get it right. But I think the feedback that I've seen, and especially from my nieces and nephews and some of my family that works in the district, is that the quality is getting better. We're seeing more kids eat, especially in lunch. And so the goal is to get more kids eating breakfast, and that might be in the cafeteria. And so we have to, as staff, Dr. Galavis and SFE, you all need to come up with what's best for kids, because that's what we're here for. And so I've seen some improvement, and of course this is the first year, and there's a lot of room for improvement, and I hope that we improve in the right direction for kids. So.
Madam Chair, just one last question.
Go ahead, Mr. Melita.
And it's about kids ultimately, but we also have staff that we need to worry about, and also take it into account their feedback. At some point, we have to agree upon a direction. I think we haven't done enough of that outreach with our own staff, whether it has been with the change of managers, I guess you want to call.
Right.
By no means am I putting that on your head tonight, because that happened last year. And Jeff, you've been great, but I think there needs to be a little bit more outreach. Have more of this discussion that we're having, but unfortunately, it's just we're limited by rules and procedures and whatnot, that you can have better conversation with them that can yield better fruits. And we can have at any level. We're board members, and there's only certain things that we can say and do. But you guys can go in there, actually have meaningful conversations, so I welcome you to do that.
Ms. Quintana?
Sorry, Chair. Now, processed foods. Now, that is a big issue. It's a big problem. And I had mentioned it.
When you had said about Anthony, right?
Since it first started. Because it can be done, but the whole year went through and nothing
was changed.
Because I saw last week, it hasn't changed. That still our kids are getting nothing but processed food for the breakfast.
And Ms. Quintana, I know Anthony, which is the district that you work for, they have breakfast in the classrooms, but the whole district-wide, did you see any foods that were different than ours? Oh, okay.
I don't.
Is there any different foods that you saw that were different than ours? Because
ours are prepared in the kitchen.
Okay.
They get burritos that are prepared in the kitchen. They get oatmeal that's prepared in the kitchen. They get menudo that's prepared in the kitchen. They get, it looks like...
Does that have nutritional content?
Yes.
And they get the bags of veggies and stuff, too. They get the craisins, they get fruit. But it's not... Once in a while, they get a processed fruit.
Right.
But it's done in the kitchen. The majority
is
done in the kitchen. And that was my concern from the very beginning, because processed food is not good for our bodies.
Right.
And their bodies are growing. Their brains are growing. It's like, you know...
Okay, so
Madam Chair,
go ahead, Ms. Rose.
Nobody's yet to answer why they can't eat in the cafeteria. I know in my own home, I would never let my children wander the home. Oh, yeah, sure, you want to have breakfast in your bedroom, that's fine. You sit down and you eat at the table, and you learn social skills. And in a classroom, you learn instructional skills. And I have a problem with those two things crossing over. A cafeteria is where people eat. That's why we spend the money on cafeterias. We just got finished throwing the poor ag kids out the door because we didn't have a plan exactly how to do everything. Now y'all are asking us to approve this, and you've had 2 weeks since the committee, or a week since the committee meeting. And we ask you so specifically, community board, everybody here, ask you specifically to come back to us with a better way to do things. And that didn't happen. And so it's very hard to approve something. How can we talk out of both sides of our mouth that we said no to the ag kids, can't approve them because there's not this plan? But with y'all, we're being asked not to approve something without the plan we asked for to come forward to us. And the plan excluded breakfast in the classroom. And that plan has not been given to us. So how can we, as Mr. Rodriguez so eloquently put in the last time, how can we make good decisions for our children based on sound information when we haven't gotten it yet? We haven't gotten the answer that I hoped we'd get, that, you know what, pilot program didn't work. But it could work over at the high school. Like Ms. Fritzy said, they like it. They like the graham crackers and whatever. We're not getting that information back. And so how can we make a decision based on the information that we have? It's no different than it was a week ago when we were at the committee meeting, correct?
Well, what we learned is that we cannot just ask for a contract from TDA that excludes breakfast in the classroom. They said once we tell them you do not want it anywhere, then they can send us a contract that will exclude that, but that would take some time. And as we said, that would put us out of compliance. If the district is willing to do it somewhere, then we can go with the contract that we have now. And as Mr. Odom alluded to, they have been working with some alternate forms of delivery that would not necessarily involve the classroom.
But that's a maybe. That's nothing that you're telling us tonight that's going to happen. And so how can we make an informed decision when and sign a contract on something that we don't agree with, and we've asked that it be changed up to something that we felt was good for parents, teachers, lunch ladies, and kids, probably in the reverse order, kids first. Yeah, I don't understand why everybody's falling on the sword for breakfast in the classroom. It just doesn't make sense to me, and why we can't very systematically just say, no, it's going to be in the cafeteria and we'll sign a contract, because everybody's happy with y'all for lunch. I've had no complaints. You know, the teacher's a little problem, a little too expensive on their part. But everybody's been very supportive of your lunch schedule. The problem is breakfast in the classroom.
If I may just answer your
question,
sir, a little more depth, and I apologize you don't have a board memo in front of you that states all the different delivery methods. And when I say delivery, I just mean the execution of breakfast, whether it's run through the line, on the bus, in the classrooms, or out on the playground, whatever that is. Delivery just means the implementation of a breakfast program, which we currently do at every one of our school sites every single day.
Yeah.
We've met the original budget
set forth between when we agreed to enter into this partnership last year included breakfast in the classroom. So with that said, and it not happening, and we implemented it, the pilot program at BCE mid-year, I believe it was about October, November-ish, we didn't want to come to you and give you this pie-in-the-sky number again like we did last year, and then some things not happen the way they're supposed to, because we want to be completely upfront. We want to operate onto a balanced budget. We'd never, ever want to have a year like we did financially this year ever again, which I think we can all agree with. Mm-hmm. So why you don't have, I guess, six versions of a budget and what those different options are for breakfast is because basically you have one that is the status quo balanced budget that we're going to achieve for you. And inside of that, it's continuing on with the pilot program at BCE, but then also via the meeting we've had with principals and cafe managers, it's finding out a systematic plan per campus, how we can roll out breakfast at their school site, whether it's status quo or do something new and different and innovative and all those different things. So yes, I think we've kind of covered three or four bullets of how we could execute a breakfast program, and I think that is the plan. But at the end of the day, the plan is balanced budget no matter what.
But also a breakfast program that the district will be happy with.
Correct.
But we're not seeing that, Ms. Pekarsky. You haven't shown us. Here it is. You all can feel secure. Sign on the dotted line. This is what's going to happen. It's a pie in the sky at this point. It's a hope. It's not what we're signing a contract on. Correct?
Well, they've been meeting with, as you said, with principals and the cafeteria manager to work something out. And you know, in the last week, they have not come to anything firm. But I think that what he's telling you is they are making a commitment to you that they will continue to work with those groups in order to make it happen.
But how can we not have a level playing field on this board, honestly, board members, where everything has the same standard? I'm not against these people. I'm very much for you. I think you've done a really good job, with the exception of breakfast in the classroom. And yet, if our standard is, as we just saw on the Ag Barn, that we have to have this solid program before we can go forward, we need to see the funding, the litmus test failed here, right? It didn't happen with this because we're in the red. We aren't seeing a program, yet we're being forced to say, you know what, sign the contract. Just sign it and we'll figure it out later. I don't see that as good business. I'm sorry.
Madam Chair?
We have Ms. Gonzalez first. Sorry, Mr. Medina.
Thank you. I know that you said that there's alternate forms of delivery. And last week, Jeff mentioned, he said, we're already working on ways to dispose of food. I don't like what I heard because you already have a solution for putting the teachers to work more. Because you said they're going to dispose of the juice. We're going to give them a container so they can. So it's going to be putting more burden on the teacher. If those are the solutions that you're working, I don't think that's going to work out.
Is that all, Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes, and of course we're not seeing them, so, and it's not up to us, but they're the ones that are going to be carrying the burden. I don't know what's the contract, what are the delivery methods, what are the disposing methods.
And that's also something that we've been working with building principals and cafe managers on, just the overall process even in the classroom, should you do a BSE program. So yes, there's absolutely some discussions going on with how do we manage once we're inside the classroom, not just food service delivers us the door and our hands are clean. That's not all what we're telling you either. So that's also a process that we're working through with the principal on best practices. The principals this morning definitely agreed they want to see the best, the good, the bad, and the ugly, if you will, and come to an agreement on, hey, what is the Canateo way to implement a breakfast in the classroom program, just for the BSE portion. Then there's, is Canateo way, is it to do just like we're doing it in the cafe and promote breakfast and National School Breakfast Week and all these great things that we continue to do out there? If that's the way, that's the way.
Mr. Medina?
So in front of us, we opened up two new cafeterias, Reyes and Neches. Cost us about $870,000. Our projected return on just food alone is negative $425,000.
drawdown of quite a bit, 1.249 or something, 1.29. So we're down to an ending funding balance of 864. What I have in front of us is two plans, essentially, with funding sources included. One with breakfast in the classroom at all elementary and middle schools that would have an expected return of 179,229, being a positive. This other one is to break even, like you said, with breakfast, with configuration, with one breakfast in the classroom pilot program, continuing the pilot program, seeing what works, what doesn't work, like what you're exactly saying, to break even. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Do we have a motion and a second?
The motion was to approve the contract as administration's recommendation.
And administration's recommendation is?
What's on the front?
What's on there? What's on the item? Sorry.
The first one?
What's the first motion?
The motion was to approve the contract renewal as presented by administration.
But who did that? Who made the motion?
I did.
Okay.
Mr. Rodriguez.
And then who gave the second?
Who was it?
All right, there is a motion and a second.
Could you read it again, please? Could you read the motion aloud?
It's the item exactly
to
the way
approve
it's
the
6A.
Contract as administration has presented.
So the actual recommendation motion is discussion approval to allow CISD to exercise its option to extend current contract. It goes through funds food service management company with Southwest Food Service Excellence for a second year term pursuant to the terms and conditions that's delineated with the original contract award.
And so it's not clear, does that equal breakfast in the classroom?
Not as presented. That's
not
a totally
presented.
Different discussion.
Yes,
and I think what we need to do is have that discussion as a board. The board is the one that actually forced administration to go with breakfast in the classroom. And so if we want to move that, I'm okay with that, but we have to have that discussion
with another agenda item.
With another agenda item, and we have to figure out what delivery methods we're going
to
do.
But
correct.
We were just told that the contract
has to
breakfast
include
in
breakfast.
The classroom.
So if we're approving the
contract
as
we're approving
it's in
breakfast
in
the
and,
classroom.
And we do have buy-in from certain campuses and food service directors that want to do it. So whether it's at the high school, whether it's at another one, or then...
Who are they? Yeah.
That's up to staff, and so that discussion has to happen with staff and come back, and then we decide. But we're getting into the details of what is not our job.
If I may, when we originally approved this contract last year, we did say it was going to be breakfast in the classroom. You did not identify specific campuses.
Mm-hmm.
We just said it would be offered.
Right.
At the district. So what you're approving today is a second year term with the same scope of work that was approved last year.
Yeah.
The
thing was, about 3 months ago, the board decided to say we're going to go breakfast in the classroom after.
At one
and
pilot.
That was a board decision to force administration to do it. And so that discussion has to happen if we're going to want to do it. I think what we need to do is work on the buy-in, see what delivery methods that the food service managers at the campus and the principal want, and see how we could increase the numbers of students eating breakfast. That you all should come back to us and say, you know what, this campus wants breakfast in the classroom, this campus wants breakfast in the cafeteria, this campus wants breakfast in the cafeteria on its way to the classroom,
right.
Whatever it may be. But that's administration's job to come up with those and make sure that they get the buy-in and that they listen to the staff, so that way we could have a good program that's going to make sure kids are eating well and healthy, and hopefully more kids are eating. That's the end goal, that's been the goal, and that was the motion.
There is a motion and a second. Ms. Fritzi?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
No.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
No, and I just want to tell you that it really scares us with us being in the red this year, and I'm afraid to be in the red next year. The money's really scary.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
No.
Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
Motion passes. Item number 7, executive session. The meeting is to be closed under Texas Government Code Section 551.071, 551.072, and 551.074. A, update regarding sale of the property. Discussion draft recommendation of the administration to not renew the term contract of a teacher employed at Northwest College High School.